Well, good morning. Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Just a few announcements before. Who am I kidding? There are a lot of announcements before we begin worship. Did you look at the upcoming events column in the bulletin? It's getting out of control. We are definitely in the middle of Christmas season, aren't we? We're getting there. You'll notice that the different concerts in the Methodist Advent concert series are listed for you. They take place on November 29, and then on the 6th of December, and then the 13th of December, and then the 20th. No, not the 20th. Yes, the 20th. So all of those will be at the Methodist Church starting at 12. There will be a brief concert, and then they will serve lunch afterwards for a donation. So I know we'll all want to go to those concerts. Then you've got the River Point Dance Recital coming up on the 3rd. You've got the Stepping Stone program on the 6th. Our Joy Gift Supper is on the 7th. Main Street Christmas Parade has been rescheduled because Alcorn is going to Houston for the SWAC Championship. So that's why they've moved our parade to the 10th. You'll notice the pageant has been scheduled for the 18th, and that'll be at 5 p.m. because also on the 18th at 6 p.m., the community choir will be putting on a cantata at Port Gibson Baptist Church. So you can come here for the pageant at 5 and then drift across the street to the Baptist Church at 6. There will be two Christmas Eve services, at least two, that are listed here. At Methodist Church at 6 o'clock, and then at the Episcopal Church also at 6, so you can take your choice. But I think we're the church that's having the Sunday morning service on Christmas Day. So 10 o'clock, not 11, tell all your friends. There may be folk who don't have family and are looking for something to do on Christmas morning, so be a good outreach event for us to have on Christmas morning. Now, the community Thanksgiving service will be this evening at New Christian Fellowship. I've been asked to preach, so that'll be starting at 6 o'clock. And you have the announcement about poinsettias. Now, you'll notice that it says this year they'll be placed in the sanctuary December 18 and 25. So we'll get to enjoy them 2 weeks. But please let Azalea or Kenny know about ordering one. I think that's right. And we will not have Bible study this week, but we will have all these other opportunities to worship the Lord. So, let's be called to worship with these words. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. So let's sing God's praise. Let's stand to sing. Let us pray. O Lord, you have made us glad by your works, and at the works of your hands we sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. You are on high forever. You are upright. You are our rock, and there is no unrighteousness in you. And so we would come into your presence this day, giving you thanks for all you are, and for all you do. But most of all, we thank you for your greatest gift, the Lord Jesus, who offered himself on the cross that our sins might be forgiven, so that we might be restored to a right relationship with you, so that you might hear us as we offer the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your pew Bible. The responsive reading today comes from the pew Bible. If you have your own King James Version, that'll do as well. But you'll need a King James Version to read along. Now, turn to John chapter 4. And this is the story of the woman at the well, part of it. I will read the odd-numbered verses, beginning with verse 7. And I'm asking the congregation to respond with the even-numbered verses, ending with verse 14. So we'll read John 4, verses 7 through 14, responsively. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. What a great gift the Lord promises us in Jesus Christ. Let's now take up our hymnals and celebrate God's gifts as we turn to selection 564. Selection 564. We'll sing all three stanzas and let us stand to sing.
Oh,
We have sung our Lord's praise. Now let us say what we believe about Him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. And we really have 2 minutes for mission this Thanksgiving Sunday, one domestic and one foreign. We'll start with the domestic mission opportunity. You have an insert in your bulletin today, and we will be taking up the Thanksgiving offering. If you did not bring a check, you can use the envelope if you want to make a cash gift to the Thanksgiving offering. This is for the Go Center, and I know I've told y'all a little bit about it these last several weeks, but I want to mention I met with the stated clerks from all the different presbyteries this past week in Orlando and heard from the clerk of Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. That's where the Go Center office is located, and the ministry began as a presbytery ministry of the Go Center, started out in Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. But it's really growing. In fact, we heard that a new cluster of churches engaging in the revitalization process has just started, and most of them are not in Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. This really is a nationwide revitalization ministry. So your offering will enable this ministry to be expanded and spread across the country. There will be coaches in every presbytery that will help churches go through a revitalization process. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us to participate in and to get involved with that ministry. So I encourage your support of it. Now, our foreign focus today will be our prayer ministry for the church in Malaysia. We have been challenged as a General Assembly to pray weekly for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church in Malaysia. And we have a letter from the Malaysian Prayer Ministry, and I want to share that with you this week. It begins, "Beloved intercessors, did you know the church in Malaysia is older than the church in the United States? Christianity came to Malaysia in 1511, about 100 years after Islam. Did you know there are 125 Presbyterian churches in Malaysia? About 75% of them worship in Chinese, and 25% of them worship in English. What would happen if God revived this denomination and our own? Did you know that 10% of the Malaysian population would identify themselves with the Christian religion, but essentially 0% of the Malay ethnic group would identify themselves as followers of Jesus? So what would happen if Jesus revived the church that's already in Malaysia and caused her to be burdened for the unreached majority Malay population of over 17 million people? It is starting to happen here and there, but the general consensus is that the Malaysian minority Christians, Chinese, Indian, and tribal, are waking up to realize that God is calling them to bring the gospel to their Malay neighbors, and it is beginning with prayer. In the same way, foreign missionaries are realizing more and more that they need to help and encourage the Malaysian Christians to follow this calling. They, the Malaysian Christians, must increase while the foreign involvement must decrease. And this too is happening. So here are our prayer points. Please pray that all Malaysian Christians would begin praying for the Malay ethnic group, the majority ethnic group in the country. Please pray that more and more Christians would with love share their Jesus hope with the Malay Muslim neighbors. Pray that Jesus would build his Malay church. And pray that the pastors there will begin to lead their churches in praying for the Malay people. This is already happening. There's a prayer movement going on among the churches in Malaysia. So please pray for that movement, that the Holy Spirit would stir their hearts. Pray that God would revive the Presbyterian Church already in Malaysia and open a door for partnership with our denomination. Pray big and be excited for what God is doing, and turn that passion and joy for His glory and fame among the Malay into heartfelt prayer. Can we do that this season? Can we be in prayer for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Malaysia? Oh, and while we're at it, could we be in prayer for an outpouring of the Spirit here too? That's what revitalization is all about. What a blessing. As we anticipate God's blessings, let's take our hymnals and turn to selection 517. This is a prayer of thanksgiving, but it's a prayer of thanksgiving for all sorts of things that aren't usually on our Thanksgiving list. So as we sing this, let's try to expand what we think about when we give thanks. We'll sing all five stanzas of hymn 517. Let us stand to sing. You may be seated. Wow, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we, according to that hymn. So with hearts that are full of thanksgiving, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, we do give you thanks and praise for so many blessings you have poured out upon us. Father, as we sit in this beautiful old sanctuary, many of us for many years have been worshiping here. Some can remember many different preachers, many different Sunday school teachers. But all, O Lord, have been blessed by the Word of God in this place. And so, Lord, we thank you for blessing us with preachers and teachers and those who have taught the Word of God faithfully to us over all of our lives. Lord, we thank you that you have given us to one another as a church, that you have blessed us not only to unite those who trust in Christ with you, but to bind us to one another, to make us into one body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for that blessing. And we thank you that your church extends beyond any particular geographic area, beyond all time and space. We thank you, O Lord, that all those who love and trust you, no matter where they are in the world, are our brothers and sisters, are one with us, and we are one with them. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of belonging to this church, of hearing your word, of proclaiming your word. And Lord, today we want to pray. Our prayers will be directed in two directions. First, Lord, we answer the call to pray for what you are doing in Malaysia. We pray for our Christian brothers and sisters that are already following you, that you would give them a burning desire to reach out to the ethnic majority around them, to reach across racial lines, to reach across religious barriers, and to share the love of Jesus with their neighbors. But Lord, as we pray that prayer for our Christian brothers and sisters in Malaysia, we have to pray it for ourselves too. For we too are in the minority here in Claiborne County. And we too have a majority around us, many of whom are not followers of Jesus. And so, Lord, give us a desire for revitalization of our church. Lord, as you fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit, as you burn away from within us all the things that keep us from sharing Christ with others, we pray that you would turn our attention outward and upward. Help us, Lord, to see opportunities to share the gospel with those around us, no matter their race, no matter their color or creed. Lord, give us a burning desire that others might come to know Jesus. And in so doing, Lord, build us up as the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for all these good gifts, and we pray that you would indeed bless us so that we might be a blessing to others. And we offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The Lord has been so good and gracious to us. Let us respond to God's grace as we give unto the Lord his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. O Lord, you are indeed the giver of all good gifts. And so we pray that you would take these gifts that we offer to you and use them however you will. Indeed, use us, all that we are and all that we have, to spread your gospel in this place. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Today, as we look at the Old Testament festival of tabernacles, we'll first look at Leviticus chapter 23, beginning with verse 33, and then we'll take a quick peek at one event that took place during this feast in the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. But first, Leviticus chapter 23, beginning with verse 33. This is the word of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work, no laborious work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon its day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths, tents, or tabernacles 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. And now we turn to John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 37th verse. And we see an incident that took place on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. John chapter 7, beginning with verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his inner being, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. Thus far God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it this day. Now, I know that all the Old Testament festivals are not always easy to understand, but there are some parts of the Feast of Tabernacles that we should recognize. Verse 39, for example, makes it quite clear that this festival was to take place at the time of the harvest, and we have our own harvest festival, don't we? We call it Thanksgiving. Just like the Old Testament people of God, we have a feast as a way of expressing our thanks for the abundance God has provided for us. Although we only feast one day, and they spread it out for a whole week. But if we can understand feasting at harvest time, there are many elements of their festival we don't typically observe. The first rather odd thing is the timing of the festival. Of course, it takes place at harvest time, but it also follows hard on the heels of a fast called the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. This was a day for confessing sin, a day for repentance, a day for solemn remembrance that death is necessary for sin to be forgiven. We studied the Day of Atonement last week, and we saw that the high priest alone was responsible for completing all of the prescribed rituals. We saw that this foreshadowed the fact that Christ alone, through his death and resurrection, can atone for the sins of all of his people. So much is clear, but what does the Day of Atonement have to do with thanksgiving? For if the people had to sit back and simply watch everything take place on Yom Kippur, they were intimately involved in every aspect of the great Feast of Tabernacles, their Thanksgiving feast. It was the people who were to bring their gifts on each day of the festival. It was the people who were to weave the branches together to make these booths in which they would live for a week. Instead of fasting in sorrow for their sins, they were feasting in celebration of their blessings. Could these two events be more different? Why then would they be side by side on the religious calendar? Well, perhaps they are not quite so dissimilar after all. The central lesson of the Day of Atonement is we cannot do anything to save ourselves. We are helpless. We need someone to save us. And isn't that utter dependence on God's forgiveness? Isn't that a good thing to remember when we celebrate our blessings? For what if these things were not connected? What if we were not to give thanks out of an attitude of humility and dependence? Wouldn't it be all too easy, as we focus on our blessings, to start imagining that we somehow deserve those things? Wouldn't it be easy to catch ourselves being proud of all the hard work we did to earn those things? Couldn't we find ourselves celebrating a festival of self-congratulation rather than a humble giving of thanks to the God who has, in spite of our sins, provided all our needs? The lesson of humility and dependence in giving thanks. This lesson was underlined by the requirement of the people to live in these shacks, these shanties, these booths made of branches for a whole week. And as the people wove those branches of palm and willow together, they were reminded of a time in the past when things were not going so well, a time when God's people lived in tents not because they wanted to, but because they had to. And as they slept and as they woke in these shanties every day for a week, they were to remember how their ancestors had camped out for 40 years while they were wandering in the wilderness after their escape from Egypt. So yes, the Feast of Tabernacles was their Thanksgiving feast. It pointed to their present prosperity. But it also reminded them of the ultimate reason for that prosperity. It reminded them of the fact that it was God who had brought them out of slavery in the Promised Land. As they lived in tents all week, they were to remember their dependence on God. They were to remember that all they had was a gift from God. But living in those shanties for a week also helped them to solve another problem that many of us have at Thanksgiving time. For let's face it, not everyone finds it easy to give thanks during this season. The American holiday season begins at Thanksgiving and ends at Christmas. One of my Yakna folks told me I should correct that. He said I should say it begins at Thanksgiving and ends at the Super Bowl. But however you want to measure it, in our collective consciousness, this holiday season is first and foremost a family time. Many of us will be traveling to be with family. Many of our holiday memories revolve around time spent with those we love the most. So, what do you do at this time of the year if your family does not look like a Norman Rockwell painting? What do you do if your family is facing serious problems? What if your family is more divided than it is devoted? What if your family is far away? What if you are grieving the loss of loved ones? How do you give thanks during this season? Well, it's possible that God's Old Testament people had a better idea of how to celebrate Thanksgiving than we do. For you see, instead of gathering in their separate towns or their individual homes, the whole nation got together for an entire week. It was a big party. And it gave everyone the chance to make new friends, to catch up with folks they hadn't seen since the last festival. And living in these shanties made of branches, camping out basically for a week, that would only enhance the togetherness, wouldn't it? For you see, the people were not just celebrating the harvest, the things that God had provided for them. They were also celebrating each other, the bond they shared by trusting in the Lord. And who can doubt that getting together like that did a lot to mend the broken hearts among them? But after the meals and after the stories of the past year were shared, those shanties in which they lay down to sleep reminded them of an even greater reason to give thanks, no matter what their current problems may have been. Now, we've already seen that those shanties reminded them of the time that their ancestors had wandered in the wilderness. And we know that in the days of the Exodus, the discomfort of living in tents had gone on not just a week, but for 40 years. Just as many of their own problems had lasted a long time. But they remembered something else, that all during their wilderness wanderings, all during that long time of suffering, God had been with His people. Verse 43 makes it clear that God was the one who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was God who had made them live in tents for all that time. And so just as God had been with His people during the Exodus, guiding them through their sufferings in the wilderness, the Feast of Tabernacles was a promise that God would be with His people living in those shanties for a week. That God would be with His people in the midst of whatever problems they were facing. And we need to remember that too. We need to remember as we give thanks, the same God is with us now. Even though we may suffer, even though we may grieve, even though we may not know where we're going, whatever is going on in our lives, we need to remember that in Jesus Christ, God is with us. And as we remember that, we can give thanks. But you know, the Feast of Tabernacles was not just about celebrating God's gift of a full harvest in the present, or the gift of community in the present. And it wasn't just about celebrating God's gift of the promised land in the past, or how God had been with His people in the past. The feast also pointed forward to a promise that God would meet His people's needs in the future. And this promise was made most clear in one of the festival's most stirring ceremonies, the celebration of living water. Now, in this ceremony, the priest would go down from the mountain of the temple down to the pool of Siloam, which was fed by the spring of Gihon. The water in the pool was living water because it came from a flowing, ever-replenished source, not a stagnant source. So the priest would fill a golden pitcher, and he would carry the water back up the mountain to the temple, and he would pour the living water out at the base of the altar. And it was during this ceremony of living water that Jesus spoke the words in our passage from John's Gospel. For it was precisely in order to fulfill the meaning of that ceremony, it was in order to fulfill the meaning of all of the Feast of the Tabernacles, that Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." You know, it doesn't matter what else we're thankful for during this season. And we should be thankful for many things. Maybe on this Thursday you will pause to give thanks for the food on your table, for the clothes and the warm houses and the family and friends around you. And in this time of political and economic uncertainty, maybe you'll give thanks for your job or for your retirement or for your bank account. And I'm not saying you should not give thanks for any of these things. They're all good gifts from God. But at the end of the day, none of them can really satisfy you. The physical water the woman of Samaria pulled out of that well, she could drink that whole bucket, and in a few hours she'd be thirsty again. And no matter how much turkey you may eat on Thursday, eventually you're going to be hungry again, and eventually you'll even want some turkey again. But Jesus promises a much more permanent solution to our problems. Just as He told the Samaritan woman at the well, He is the living water that will fill us from the inside out. He promises not just to give us what we want, but to give us what we need, to take the messed up messes our lives all too easily become and remold them and to remake them in His own image. He promises that as we come to Him, as we trust in Him, His Holy Spirit will live inside of us, comforting us, giving us strength, changing us, transforming our desires, redirecting the very focus of our lives. For what did Jesus say in John 7:38? He did not say that rivers of living water would flow into us. No, He said that when we come to Jesus in trust, when the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us, out of our hearts, out of the very center of our lives will flow rivers of living water. The love that God has so richly given us will bubble up within us and spill over and flow out unto all those around us. Now, who can doubt that a life marked by such abundant love, a life filled with the Spirit of Christ, a life focused on giving that love to others, would be a life marked by thanksgiving? Who can doubt that such a life would, in humble dependence on Christ, trust Him in the midst of our sufferings and reach out to share His love with others who are suffering? Well, how can we respond to such an amazing offer, to such an amazing gift. One thing we can do is to give thanks well. To give thanks for God's blessings in the present. To give thanks for God's blessings in the past. To give thanks not only for our material things, but for the church, for the body of Christ around us. For all the things that we've sung about. And we can then turn our thanksgiving into giving. God's Old Testament people brought gifts to God, burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, libations, votive and free will offerings. And this was a natural response at harvest time. And it's a great way to give thanks for God's rich blessings on their flocks and on their fields. And such a response would not be out of place for us. Knowing as we do in a much fuller and a much deeper way the extent of God's plan to save us. For we know exactly what God's plan of redemption cost Him. We know what it cost Jesus to pour out the living water on us. And that was His own lifeblood had to be shed. If God's Old Testament people could praise God with their gifts, surely we should as well. So yes, during this harvest season, let's give thanks to the Lord for His many blessings to us. Let's remember that God is the true source of all our worldly wealth. Let's remember that God has given us to one another. Let's remember that God is the author of all our spiritual blessings in Christ. But let's respond to God's grace, not just by giving material things, but by showing and sharing the love of Christ in all of our lives in such a way that others may come to know their hunger and their thirst, and so that others might then come to know the One who is the living water, the One who is the bread of life, the One who welcomes all who thirst for righteousness, the One who promises to fill the hungry with good things. Let us pray. Lord, You have indeed blessed us in so many ways. Teach us to be thankful, and teach us to express our thanks in love and service. Lord, we pray that You would turn our hearts, set our hearts ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and that as our hearts are warmed with Your love, that we would then share that love with others within the church and beyond. Lord, make us truly Your people, Your thankful people. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's continue that notion of thanksgiving as we turn in our hymnals to selection 565. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 565, and let us stand to sing. May our thanksgiving be heartfelt, God-centered, and focused on love for others. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.